the week, every weekday this week at noon and again at 6:30 in the evening on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Radio 3 it is, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news from Ian Skelly.
The blind Chinese dissident Chen Guangchung is flying to the United States accompanied by his wife and two children. Earlier, Mr. Chen left the hospital in Beijing where he'd been held after leaving sanctuary in the US embassy. His escape from house arrest last month led to diplomatic tensions between the US and China. Leaders of the G8 countries, including David Cameron, will continue their summit at Camp David outside Washington today, with the Eurozone expected to be top of the agenda. President Obama has already said a strong growth agenda is needed alongside tighter public spending. Seven people arrested by police investigating dissident Republican activity in Northern Ireland have been remanded in custody. They've been charged with a range of offences, including conspiracy to murder and directing terrorism. There were two separate court hearings this morning, one in Omagh, the other in Lisbon. The Mafia has been blamed for a bomb attack outside a school in southern Italy that killed at least one teenage student and injured several more. The explosion took place as students arrived for Saturday morning classes at the school in Brindisi. And state television in Syria says there's been a suicide car bomb attack in the city of Deir Ezzor. 9 people are reported to have been killed and 100 wounded. Rescuers searching for a fishing boat have confirmed that an underwater wreck found 10 miles off Portland in Dorset is the missing vessel Purbeck Isle. The body of one of the crew members has been found. He's been identified as the skipper, 35-year-old David McFarland. The Queen's Diamond Jubilee celebrations are continuing with a parade by more than 2,500 members of the armed forces at Windsor Castle. More than 70 aircraft, including helicopters, hawks, tornadoes, the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight and the Red Arrows, are also staging a flypast. And the weather this afternoon, rain across central areas will tend to die away today, but it'll stay cloudy. Further north, there'll be brighter conditions, but isolated showers will develop inland. Elsewhere, it'll be cloudy with some sunny spells, but also a few showers before tea time. And that's the BBC News and the weather. The time now, 3 minutes past one.
And that means it's time now for today's early music show, which is introduced by Lucy Skipping after this violin sonata by Johann Schmelzer.
Thank you. The violinist Andrew Mansi with Nigel North on the theorbo and John Toll on the harpsichord with a sonata by Johann Heinrich Schmelzer entitled The Cuckoo. It was commissioned by the Bishop of Olomouc, Kroměříž, in what's now the Czech Republic. An enormously sociable fellow and incidentally also a prince, the bishop spent his summers in his fabulous Kroměříž castle, where he laid on for his friends an assortment of feasts, plays, ballets and concerts. And when it came to his own personal taste, well, he was especially keen on what we might now call programmatic music. In other words, pieces that represented something in particular, an animal, perhaps like what we've just heard, or maybe some event or scenario that he and his guests could picture in their mind's eye as they listened, or dined, or both. This sort of music, developed in Kroměříž under the prince's patronage, came to be known as the stylus fantasticus, or the fantasy style. The composer Heinrich Bieber, on the other hand, threw himself into this spirit of entertainment wholeheartedly. He's arguably the most famous musician to have worked at Castle Kroměříž. And the stylus fantasticus not only gave him the opportunity to impress his grand audience with incredibly virtuosic violin playing, but with some imaginative musical storytelling as well. This sonata, for instance, he subtitled The Peasants Go to Church. And I think you can really hear the lazy Sunday morning in the opening as they open their eyes sleepily, quickly get themselves ready for Mass, and then set off on a steady walk to church, greeting friends as they go.
Thank you.
The New London Consort, directed by Philip Pickett, with a sonata by Heinrich Bieber, subtitled The Peasants Go to Church. And you can almost visualise the scene in that piece. Perhaps it was even acted out in one of the Prince Bishop's many summertime theatrical evenings at Kromjezich Castle. We're going to hear more Bieber and his use of the Stilus Fantasticus later in the programme. But first, let's look in more detail about just how the style came into being. The 17th century author and scientist Athanasius Kircher described it as a fantastic style that was especially suited to instruments. "It is the most free and unrestrained method of composing," he wrote. "It is bound to nothing, neither to any words nor to any melodic subject. It was instituted to display genius." But in fact, the real root of the Stilus Fantasticus can be traced back to the previous century, to the keyboard pieces of the Venetian composer Claudio Merulo. He was the principal organist at St Mark's, and his compositions earned him fame and respect all over Europe. His toccatas in particular are really innovative, using complicated embellishments, elaborations and ornaments which broke the traditional musical rules of the day. Let's hear one of those toccatas now. It's played by the organist Frederick Munoz.
Thank you.
organist Frederick Muñoz with that toccata by Claudio Merulo. One of the most important composers to follow from Merulo was Girolamo Frescobaldi. The two met just a year or so before Merulo's death in 1604, and the young prodigy Frescobaldi was said to be in awe of the great master. Frescobaldi was at the forefront of the groundbreaking developments in style that led composers away from writing purely vocal music. Now the modern world wanted instrumental music as well, and Frescobaldi, himself a fantastic keyboard player, delivered it with panache. His capricci may be full of complex and, even by today's standards, extremely impressive counterpoint, but they are also incredibly virtuosic, original and even humorous. So you could say that they represent the true beginnings of the stilus fantasticus, the fantastic style which would eventually be defined by the descriptive pieces of Bieber or Schmelzer's Cuckoo Sonata that we heard at the beginning of the programme. And talking of cuckoos, listen to this, one of Frescobaldi's capriccios, which I bet provoked a few belly laughs from the musical cognoscenti of the early 17th century.
Thank you.
organist John Butt with that humorous Capriccio on the Cuckoo by Girolamo Frescobaldi. I guess you could say that all the best new ideas get passed down the generations, and never more so than in the music world, where the teacher-pupil relationship can be particularly close. So it was with Johann Froberger, a young German composer who, courtesy of a nice grant from the Emperor Ferdinand III, was able to travel to Rome to study with Frescobaldi. He soon absorbed the brilliance and invention of the Stilus Fantasticus, and by the time he returned home to Vienna 3 years later, he was one of the most sought-after performers of the day, in demand all over Europe. Froberger is largely credited with inventing the Baroque suite, that is, a piece made up of a series of dance forms like the allemande, the jig, the courante, the saraband, and so on. But in the spirit of the Stilus Fantasticus, he also wrote descriptive pieces for the harpsichord, some of which he plopped into his suites as the first movement. And the musical images they portray often had a personal connection. Along with the music, he often supplied a detailed explanation of what it was all about, and one such piece is a lament on the death of his friend, the lutenist Blancrochet, whose fatal accident, falling down a flight of stairs, is represented with the descending scale. Another work, Froberger's 12th Suite, portrays a similarly sad theme, the lament on the grievous loss of His Royal Majesty Ferdinand IV, King of the Romans. The movement we'll hear from it is in the form of an allemande. It alternates between the calmness of a serene gaze turned towards God and the energy that represents the revolt against hateful death. And at the end, Froberger gives us a scale covering the entire compass of the harpsichord, an ascent to heaven, that's portrayed not only in the music itself, but by a little picture of seraphim that he drew just above the top end of the rising scale in the autograph manuscript.
Thank you.
Harpsichordist Christophe Rousset with a lament on the death of Emperor Ferdinand IV by Johann Froberger. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and today I'm looking at the development of the descriptive, programmatic genre of music from the 17th and early 18th centuries, known as the Stilus Fantasticus, or fantasy style. After all his travels, Froberger eventually settled in Vienna, where he became a favourite at the imperial court. His colleagues there included Schmelzer, who lived in and around the city almost his entire life. He was 4 or 5 years younger than Froberger, but it's clear that the Italian influences and the Stilus Fantasticus must have rubbed off on him as well. Whereas Froberger's instrument was the keyboard, Schmelzer's was the violin, and he gained a high reputation for his playing. One writer in 1660 referred to him as nearly the most eminent violinist in all of Europe. And even though he was employed by the imperial family in Vienna, it seems they were proud to share his talents. Indeed, as a guest at Castle Kromiežiš in the summer festivities, it's likely that the emperor would have been very pleased that his own star musician was amongst the composers whose music was performed there. One of the most famous pieces the Prince Bishop commissioned from Schmelzer is a depiction of a fencing school, which may have accompanied some kind of visual action, like a mock sword fight. Certainly Schmelzer laid it on thick, unleashing in the music all the vividness of a really fierce combat. It even ends with a very tender application of musical bandages to the wounded in the final barber surgeon aria. Thank you. The Fencing School, played there by Armonico Tributo Austria, directed by Lawrence Duftschmidt. Well, the fighting continues in our next and final piece in today's programme, and it's perhaps the most famous example of music written in the Stilus Fantasticus, which has been our focus today. It's Heinrich Bieber's Battaglia. Bieber's thought to have been a pupil of Schmelzer, so it's no wonder that the torch was carried on into the next generation, and indeed into the next century. In this piece, he conjures up a military encampment by means of trumpet and drum motifs, and it's full of imagination and wit. In the opening section, we hear eight drunken musketeers singing their native songs, which Bieber portrays by writing music in two keys at the same time. Then we hear officers engaging in elegant fencing, a noisy percussive march, a short cavalry piece, a battle complete with trumpet flourishes and shots, and finally the lament of the wounded musketeers. And all of it in just 7.5 minutes. What's more, Bieber supplied precise instructions to his performers. "The battle must not be played with the bow," he wrote, "and the string must be snapped like a cannon with the right hand, vigorously. And where there are lines, one must strike the violin with the bow instead of bowing normally, and this must be well rehearsed." Well, no problem here. Niklaus Armancor and his colleagues in Consensus Musicus Wien certainly sound well rehearsed in this recording. Bieber's Battaglia.
Thank you.
Italia by Heinrich Bieber, performed there by Consensus Musicus Wien, directed by Niklaus Arnenkor. And that brings to an end today's rather fantastic edition of the Early Music Show. I hope you'll join me next time.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. And from Monday, you can download our weekly podcast version of the Early Music Show. Just go to the Radio 3 website and follow links to the Early Music Show homepage. Well, tomorrow's programme will be presented by Catherine Bott, and she'll be focusing on the cantatas from Handel's early years in Italy. That's at the usual time, just after the 1 o'clock news. Well, this weekend on BBC Radio 3, we celebrate the 80th birthday of one of Britain's most prominent contemporary playwrights.
He's been called the unique outsider of British theatre. But now Sir Arnold Wesker can feel more included than ever with recent revivals of his most celebrated works. BBC Radio 3 brings you an exclusive interview with Wesker in the Sunday feature.
And she said, "It's good. I'm not saying it's not good, but who's going to be interested in any of that?"
And following it, one of those revivals transfers to radio. His first play, Chicken Soup with Barley, in the Royal Court's sold-out recent production, capturing the collapse of an ideology and the disintegration of a family.
The great ideal you always cherished has exploded in front of your eyes, but you won't face it.
Wesker on BBC Radio 3. Drama on 3 and the Sunday feature, starting at 7:45.
Tomorrow, of course. And now we have another chance to hear a concert first broadcast live last Monday lunchtime. It's presented by Sarah Walker.
Welcome to Wigmore Hall for a song recital slightly different from the advertised programme. Alan Clayton is indisposed, and we're very grateful to the young Irish tenor Robin Trichler, who's taken his place, joined by the pianist Julius Drake. It's a concert of two distinct sections highlighting the Austro-German song tradition and then the English, with music by Schubert and Benjamin Britten, so plenty of contrast in store for us today. We start with Schubert's song Der Jüngling am Bache, The Youth by the Brook, which sets poetry by Schiller. In fact, Schubert turned to these words three times, and the version we'll hear is his first from 1812, so he was just 15 years old. Perhaps he identified with the youth in the poem who senses his glory days passing swiftly by without any hope of love. After that, we'll hear Vom Mitleiden Mariae, a moving response to the tragedy of the crucifixion, where Schubert uses an austere style, a simple melody and linear accompaniment, very like Baroque music. Frühlingsglaube, spring faith, celebrates the season where nature is reborn each year, and the piano part has a slightly restless quality, yet the overall mood suggests a serene acceptance. And here to perform these three songs by Schubert, tenor Robin Trichler and the pianist Julius Drake.
Schweren Kummer nur. See you.